Welcome to Podcast Ed, a podcast of Step Up for Students Next Steps blog. I'm your host, Lisa Bowie. On this episode, recent college graduate Jasmine Merity talks about the benefits of her K-12 Ed Choice Scholarship as we celebrate the Florida Tax Credit Scholarship Program's 25th anniversary. We're celebrating a birthday today. The Florida Tax Credit Scholarship Program turned 25 on July 1st, and we at Step Up for Students are going to have a party all year long. And to help us get this party started, we have Jasmine Merity. She's an FTC scholarship alum and a recent college graduate who aspires to a career in broadcasting. Jasmine, welcome to the program.
Thank you for having me.
Well, we'll just dive right in. Tell me about, you know, your early life, your family, the household you were raised in.
I was born in Tampa, Florida, where my mom went to college at USF. When I went to my checkup, I was diagnosed with type 1 diabetes, which brought me to Jacksonville, where I live with my mom. My dad moved down here, and then I have my stepmom, my little brother, and my little sister all down here. And I've been in Jacksonville all my life. Decided to take the crazy idea and go to Baton Rouge, Louisiana for college. I know, a crazy idea, 8 hours away from home, everything. But it all worked out. My story did start with Step Up. My family wanted me to be in a school where it had a small classroom environment, where also I had a close connection and enclosed environment where I could get to the nurse and have the most attention that I would need to make sure I was able to strive academically, but also making sure that my health was under control.
I don't know what school you were zoned for, but why not just go to the school that's the public school right up the road?
Well, as we know, a lot of public schools are very big. They have a big amount of class sizes. And we thought that I wouldn't get the most medical attention that I would need, just because a nurse has to deal with 1,000 students a day, whereas in my private school, she sees a few kids a day. If there's anything that I needed in classroom or in the class environment where my blood sugar was low and I needed to go to a nurse, my teacher could notice it quickly in a smaller classroom than whereas I'm in a class with 35, 40 kids.
Right, I understand.
Yes.
We all know when you're not feeling well, it's very hard to learn. So that's very important. So when she did choose, then what were the factors she was evaluating, and how did she do her research?
Well, my mom is from Jacksonville, so she knew a lot about the class size of, and she went to public school in Jacksonville. So she knew how the class environment was and how much a teacher has to deal with in one classroom and how it's harder to closely monitor somebody and when you have so many students. In a smaller classroom, teachers are a little bit more able to pinpoint every student for what they need. And that's where she kind of went into play of, I want her to go to a smaller private school where she can be seen and have comfortability with the people that are around her. And if there's anything that happens, I will be helped a little bit more if I were at a public school where there's a lot going on, so I wouldn't have the best access to the nurse.
Was the cost of tuition a challenge for her?
Just a little. She is a single mom, so private schools, as we know, are a little bit more expensive. So with me signing up for a Step Up since I was in pre-K, it helped a little bit more of the burden to where she's not struggling to pay for my schooling and medication. Step Up really helped a lot. Even outside of the helping with tuition, the mentorship that I have gotten from a lot of leadership in Step Up helped me throughout my whole collegiate schooling, throughout my whole process of preschool, elementary to high school.
Did she have to make any sacrifices in order to afford to send you to a private school?
There was some sacrifices, making sure, like, not necessarily always having everything. But well, we'll write that. There's always, parents always have to make sacrifices because yes, it is a higher tuition, but it's for the betterment of the child. So I don't think that my mother ever looked at it as, we can't afford this, so we're just going to have to wait for things. It was more so like, I'm doing this so that my child can have a great education and so that I can feel comfortable with her being in a space and that she is closely watched.
And did she already know about the state, the Florida Tax Credit Scholarship Program? And if so, how did she learn about that program?
My mom did know about it from other family members. She found out about Step Up for Students and signed me up when I was very young. And then we kept doing it throughout the years. She knew about it because of family. Some of my family members have Step Up as well. So it was never something that we didn't know about. It was more so doing more research to understand certain aspects of what Step Up can do for a student. So
did you go to the Shane School? Was it a K-12 school or did you have to move on to a middle school and then a high school?
My first school, it was a pre-K to middle school, but I left that school in fifth grade and transferred to my second school.
You started out at a pre-K through five, an elementary school, and then went to a school that you were able to attend through your high school graduation. So let's go to your first school, elementary school. What made that school the best fit for you? What made it special?
The community. Definitely made it special. I still have close contacts with a lot of them. They're like my aunts and uncles. It was definitely a smaller class size for me, which helped a lot with my learning and making sure that I had my blood sugar under control. They were more hands-on, I would say, with me because it felt like a big family. So that was a little more hands-on to where I didn't have to say anything. They already kind of picked up on what I needed help with academically and medically. So I never felt like an outsider in my first school. Everything just kind of worked out because it made a great family environment, which prioritized education and also making sure students knew that they had a family.
As a student who is dealing with type 1 diabetes, tell me a little bit about what the routine is during the day at school for you. What does that look like?
So normally you start your day at 6 o'clock, then breakfast. Did my blood sugar to make sure I was good for the first period of the day. Then I would check, once I got to school, I would check in with my nurse, bring my medical supplies to the nurse's office, then go to my classes. Then like midday towards lunchtime, I would go back to the nurse, check my blood sugar, make sure everything was, and gave corrections for any food I ate. Then went back to classes, and at the end of the day, I would go to the nurse, grab my supplies, check my blood sugar before I went to cheer practice when I was at my second school. I was a student athlete, so my end day was checking my blood sugar before I left the nurse's office, going to practice, then throughout practice, checking my blood sugar to make sure everything was safe for me to be athletic, and then in the day, go home, make dinner, take blood sugar, and start it all over again.
So how were the teachers at your schools?
My teachers were great. They're very understanding, even if they didn't necessarily understand the diabetic part of it. When it came to academics, they definitely pushed me a lot more to strive to be the greatest and be successful in every aspect, whether it was going the extra mile and reading the next few chapters and doing my homework earlier than expected, and really just making sure that I knew how to function and multitask in spaces where I don't always have the time to. My schools, they always push for higher education, higher learning, and making sure that students don't feel like they're being left behind. They never let a student feel left out or feel left behind in any aspect of their learning. Even if they took a little bit longer for a lesson, they were okay with taking a little bit more time to make sure a student understood what was being taught.
So you never felt different because of your diabetes. You just fit right in.
Yes, pretty much. My classmates didn't really notice too much because I would leave, come back, and I would still be on top of my work and doing the lessons. So my teachers never made it feel like, oh, Jasmine, you need to go do this. Da-da-da. It was kind of like, okay, raise my hand. I need to go to the nurse. Okay, go ahead, take care of whatever you need to take care of. And when you come back, we'll get right back to the lesson. Or we'll fill you in when you come back. There was never a point where I felt like I needed or felt like I would be left behind in the lesson because I had to go take care of my medicine.
I understand from looking at some of your social media, you had an incredible nurse. I assume that was at your second school when you were older. Tell me about that nurse.
Yes, Miss Connie, that was literally my best friend. Anything I needed, she always had. I was like her third child. She always would make sure she had juices and crackers and any snacks I would need just in case my blood sugar dropped low. She was always there, always open to anything that I needed. She was always accessible. I never had to worry about am I going to be able to go to the nurse's office and get the help that I need. She was always accessible, and if she wasn't, there was always somebody right next to her office that I could still go to and make sure that I got the help that I needed with my treatments for my diabetes.
So your situation, it was a medical condition, and then also as a education choice scholarship student, obviously influenced you somehow. How did you end up in advocacy for diabetes? And I understand you testified about the cost of insulin.
Yes.
Tell me about that experience.
So that was 2019. I had put an application to be a part of JDRF, which is now Breakthrough T1D, where we annually go to Congress to speak up about the cost of pretty much living. I believe that there should never be a situation where a parent has to choose between paying their bills and getting groceries and making sure their child has the medicine that they need to actually live. That I feel like that should never even have to come to play. But unfortunately for a lot of Americans, that is a case, unfortunately. And I have went there and met a lot of kids my age and older who also had the same experience of going to school. Some went to public schools where they shared their experience with me that sometimes they were playing survivor just to check their blood sugar because they didn't have close access to the nurse, or the nurse was taking care of 20,000 other kids. We had a smaller school size and she was able to be accessible. A lot of the kids that I met when I went to DC, they talked about how they didn't really have close access to their nurses. So they kind of dealt with their medical necessities themselves. And I feel like kids shouldn't have to always fend for themselves. We all have to do that in our day-to-day basis. I feel like it should be a safe space for students with diabetes and any other medical situation to have a comfort space where they feel safe and they don't feel like they'll be judged or feel like they're playing survivor.
You testified before Congress. Yeah. What was that like?
It was pretty nerve-wracking. Just because those are people who make decisions. Those are people who you go to when you have problems, and those are people you advocate to. So it was a little nerve-wracking being so young and sharing my experience and other people's experience on why the cost of insulin should go down. But I wouldn't change anything about me going to DC because it definitely opened a lot of doors and showed me how to be a lobbyist and how to advocate for those who don't often get to advocate for themselves. So it was a really great experience.
And that gave you the confidence to then become an advocate for education choice. I understand you have been part of a fellowship program with the American Federation for Children.
Yes, I have. Just like medication was a big thing, education was also a big thing, because I feel like not every school can give every student the attention they might need or the space they might need. Some schools, they have a lot of students, and some students might fall behind because they aren't necessarily catered to, or their learning style isn't catered to as much. Some students are kinetic learners, where they have to touch what they're doing. Some students are verbal learners, where they can just listen to what you're saying. And some are both. They have to touch and hear what you're saying. And some schools might not always cater to those needs of some students. So I want to be able to advocate, because my school, they always made sure with any learning aspect and the ways that students learn, that they were always able to touch every point. So if they needed to do more visual drawings on the board, then they would do that. If they felt like students needed more hands-on work, they would do that.
What do you think your life would have looked like if your mom didn't have a choice and you just had to go to the neighborhood school and had no control over anything? How do you think your life would have turned out? Do you think it would have turned out differently?
I think it wouldn't have been drastic, but I think it would have made a little bit of change, especially with the medical aspect. I wouldn't have close contact, so I would have to be a little bit more on top of everything, which I'm already on top of my medicine, but just being able to have somebody right next to me, making sure, like, okay, yeah, this is what we need to do. Okay, maybe let's take a little bit less insulin and see how that works throughout the day to make sure you don't drop when you have a test coming up. And just, I think for me, smaller class sizes helped me more than bigger class sizes, just because I felt like I can get overstimulated. But I don't think it would have been a drastic change. I just think some things would have been a little bit harder for me to maneuver around than they have been for me.
Do you think you still would have been able to get into Southern University, for instance, without the kind of education that you had?
I think I would have still gotten in. I just think it would have took me a little more time, because it, for me, some things take a little bit longer to process, and I need a little bit more work around with some things. So I feel like with a bigger class size, it would be harder for me to get noticed and for me to feel like I am on top of the work and not feel like I was behind, because the teacher has to deal with 20,000 other kids. So whereas when the school that I went to, it was only at most 20 kids in my class. So the teacher was able to help every student's learning aspect.
What advice do you have for families who live in a state that doesn't have the options that, you know, we have in Florida? We often forget how fortunate we are to be in Florida with all of these many choices. And what advice would you have for those families? They do.
I feel like you should seek out any opportunities they have. I understand that not every school, not every state has Step Up. There are a lot of other programs that can help benefit your student and help them flourish in the academic way that they need in the class sizes, whether it's just putting them more into STEM programs or putting them into charter schools where they can develop trade. Just look for the resources. Every state has resources. It's just a matter of researching and knowing what you want for your student.
What advice would you give them as to how to advocate for their state to adopt education choice policies?
Definitely going to your representatives and telling them your story. Sometimes our representatives, some often, are dealing with a lot of different policies, but when they get to see the face of a family, they understand the impact that the decisions they make can help benefit the families. So sharing your stories on all platforms and going up to their offices will help bring awareness. So definitely always advocate. Go to your congressman, go to your senators, go to every representative that you have and share your story and share how this program that you have or a program that you feel like your state needs will help benefit your child and other children.
Maybe aware January is going to be a really big deal because the federal scholarship tax credit program begins. And how do you feel about that? What doors is that going to open up?
I think it would be a really good thing because it'll help students get the necessary help that they need, whether it's families paying for, let's say, tutors for their kids or even putting them in academic resources that will help benefit them in the long run. I think this will be a great thing for all students because the more help you can get, the better.
And now that you've recently graduated from your diploma, what plans do you have?
Yes, so right now I am currently working for a photography studio that does the cap and gowns for Florida seniors. And I'm trying to get more into the sports photography world. I am a photographer already, but I would like to get more into the sports world. I am very adamant about women in sports and amplifying that a little, just a little bit more.
Jasmine, having you on here has been a real treat. And we look forward to all the wonderful things that you're going to do with your life as a Florida Tax Credit Scholarship alum. And we hope to see you advocating in the future for other families and students to get the best education possible.
Thank you for having me.